Oh yeah, Brian, that's right. I love the cosmos as much as any dark person. And I know we've had many discussions over the years, especially we're at the Jet Propulsion Laboratory over there at NASA. There's a lot of stuff flying around up there in the atmosphere and above the atmosphere and in the cyberspace of world in between the old black holes and the solar system and the Milky Way. Now, this is the thing, Brian. People keep on talking about the Milky Way. I know that was invented by Pythagoras or Sistrum, one of those blokes years ago. Yeah. The Milky Way is not really what a way should look like.
Not at all.
It should be clear.
Yeah.
Not frosted up like it is in our neck of the woods, one of our universes, of the billions that are out there. It should be clear.
Yeah.
It should be like vapor, but only in a mist form, not like a milky form, like a milk product.
Yeah.
This is where it's all gone a bit astray.
Yes.
That's why we're having trouble on Earth seeing some of these asteroids flying around milkiness is taking a little bit of the sightseeing away from being able to look at shit coming towards you.
It has.
Now, you've been talking to one of the big boffins over there in NASA, Brian, haven't you, about what's happened recently?
Yeah. Dr. Archimedes Thernstrop has told me some amazing revelations, Brian, and he was saying that whilst most of the material we're seeing these days from the big telescopes that are out there now, the Hubble Bruno and the Zippity-Doodah telescope, they're filming some stuff way out in the nether reaches of the Big Bang material world out there where the Earth started from and the universe comploded from and regranimated itself billions of light years ago.
Yes.
But this is all lies, he said. This is just algorithms gone mad.
Yeah.
This is just a bit of photoshopping.
Yep.
And Buzz Aldrin put us onto that.
Yes.
Many years ago, he said NASA was basically involved in making a string on tin cans look very, very exciting.
Yep.
And to hoodwink people into believing that there's life in the universe.
Yeah.
Now, Buzz was a famous alcoholic and drug addict. And we thank him for that. We take our hat off to him.
Oh, yeah.
We had many, many a good year with Buzz. He was always the party animal. Neil Armstrong was just a wet blanket.
Yeah.
He was boring, and he actually condemned a few people to death at cocktail parties.
Yes, he did.
By getting them in a corner and talking to them nonsensically for hours and hours on end about how dust clings to your space boots and how vast the deafening silence of space is.
Yes.
And this was enough to commit a lot of people to internal hemorrhaging and brain or suicide, Brian.
Yes, that's right.
But Buzz was on the right track, and it continues today, this hoodwinking of the masses, Brian.
It does, Brian. Good old Neil, we had a few conversations with him over the years. He was heavily into God.
Yeah.
We were sort of into God, but in more like the satirical sense.
Yeah.
He was pretty serious. We found that to be offensive.
Yeah.
And we told him a couple of times. We pushed him up against the wall once, and I know that you were just about to snot him.
Yeah.
And he started to cry.
Yeah.
We took pity on the old bastard because, you've got to be a bit respectful of the fact that he walked on another space and time thing by himself before Buzz walked down that ladder of controversy. Now, the thing is, Brian, when you've got an astronaut like old Neil Armstrong, you got problems because he thought he was like the – who's that Armstrong kitty with the big cheeks that used to blow the bugle?
Lance Armstrong.
Lance Armstrong, that's him. No testicles Armstrong.
Yeah.
Now, he had a penchant for telling a lot of lies himself.
He did.
This comes about from the Armstrong name.
Yes.
It's happened before in motor cars, the Armstrong Siddeley.
Yes.
That wasn't a car.
No.
It was a go-kart.
It was.
These sort of things are like the Armstrong family.
Yeah.
They used to make soup.
Yeah.
And then Campbell's took them over.
Yes.
Now, Armstrong's soup was made out of seawater.
It was.
They thought they were going to corner the market.
Yeah.
All they did was they built this factory right on the river, Gerrymander.
Yeah.
The Gerrymander River,
yes.
Which opened up into the Black Sea.
Yeah.
All their tomato soup, which they were specialists in, was so salty that people used to hemorrhage.
Yeah.
and have heart attacks.
Yeah.
This was called the suicide suit.
Yeah.
It became very well known throughout the world, but it brought the Armstrong name down, Brian.
Yes.
As you know, it was revived, obviously, by Neil for a short time there until he started talking about dog and space weapons and talking about killer cats.
Yeah.
Everybody lost interest.
They did.
And Buzz became the buzzword.
Yeah.
Pardon the pun.
Yes.
Buzz Aldrin became what you'd call the spokesperson for NASA and all things galactic, didn't he, Brian?
Absolutely, Brian. Neil Armstrong put the Armstrong name into disrepute.
Yes.
As you say, his great uncle, Louis Armstrong, that fantastic trumpet player.
Louis Armstrong.
He almost gave up musicality once he heard that Neil Armstrong was banging on about God.
Yes.
Louis didn't like God at all. He didn't believe in God.
No.
He believed in smoking hooch. Smoking a marijuana and blowing a few tunes.
Yeah.
And that was right against old Neil's beliefs and value system.
Yes.
So he was dropped like a hot potato by the Armstrong people.
Yeah.
And it was only his later service to Satan that brought him back into some repute amongst his family, Brian.
Yes, yes. That's right, Brian. Well, Satan's had a lot of say in the revival for careers of of many a man, woman, and go. And, you get a bit of Satanism going.
Yeah.
It creates a lot of headlines.
Yeah.
That creates in itself a lot of interest.
Yeah.
The social media platforms go nuts.
They do.
And, you know, there's a lot of, what could I say, people are starting to really come around to the idea of Satan.
Oh, yeah.
And Satanism as being a hot topic. It's been looked on as maybe the way that people can maybe rejoice a bit more about the world.
Yes.
Rather than all this stuff about throwing rocks at Jews and, you know, having walls in West Bank and all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, they've come a long way.
They have.
But, you know, Satan has got some foibles.
Yeah.
He tends to set things on fire willy-nilly.
Yeah.
But I think he's just been given a bad bloody dose of Rupert Murdoch.
Yeah.
In the media, and I want to see somewhat of more of a fair playing field.
Yeah,
I believe he's a great orator, Brian. Yes. We've heard him talk a few times over the years, and he's got a beautiful voice. Yeah. He's got a deep breathing apparatus, but you shouldn't be put off by some of the tentacles.
Yeah.
And noises that come out of his body that he can't control.
Yeah.
But his voice is just a luxurious thing to listen to, Brian. I know I'm bought, you know, the Satan cassettes that he brought out in the 1980s that lulls you to sleep.
Oh, yes.
You tend to wake up during the night on fire or you might wake up in somebody else's house.
Yeah.
But you get a great sleep out of it, Brian. I know that for sure.
You do. The KTEL Record Company were proud sponsors.
They were.
The Satan monologues. And the Satan, say Lucifer, really had a lyrical quality about his voice. It was very mesmerizing.
It was.
And after 5 to 10 minutes of listening to those tapes, you would inevitably be in a deep hallucinogenic hypnotic state, and you're susceptible to performing any macabre and sexually deviant behaviour, Brian.
Yes.
It was a wonderful Kmart product.
It was.
And I think they should revitalise it, bring it back in the market.
Yes.
And KTEL could do with coming back again into this modern world of technological advancement.
Yes, I agree.
And really bringing out some great product,
though,
like they used to do on late night television back in the 70s and 80s, Brian.
I look, Brian, I believe that they're thinking about bringing back a 15,000 CD pack of Satan's verses, his talks and his chat. He had a chat show on the public broadcasting station over there in the United States.
Yeah.
Because they've got free speech in America, Brian.
They do.
We somewhat have little bits of it here and there.
Yeah.
On podcasts like ours, you have free speech.
Oh, yeah.
Until you cross the line, Brian.
That's it.
And start talking about some of the racial things or some sex act that you did with a chicken. That's a line that shouldn't be crossed, Brian. But anyway, in America, you can say what you want.
You can.
Do what you want, buy rifles, whatever you want, kill people. It's all fair game in the States.
It is.
And Satan had a great show.
He did.
It was sort of a bit like the old Ed Sullivan show.
He'd
start off with a monologue, and then the curtains would catch on fire, then the fire alarms would go off, and they'd all have to let all the audience out.
Yeah.
But he'd make sure a few of them were trapped.
Yeah.
It was pure entertainment.
It was, Brian.
This is the way the Americans love it.
Yeah.
Then he'd have his guests on.
Yeah.
Just as a treat, he'd brought in Neil Armstrong one night.
Yep.
Now, that was pure excitement, Brian.
It was.
Look at it, Neil. He came in his bloody spacesuit and walked on.
Yep.
And good old Satan said, "Mate, you're full of shit."
Yep.
And belted him right across the chops.
Yeah, he got stuck straight into him, Brian.
Now, Neil didn't get up for 3 days, did he, Brian?
No, he did not at all. It was a great show.
Yeah.
It was one of the highest raters at the time.
Yeah, it was.
And I think Johnny Carson used to rush out of the Ed Sullivan Theatre, get home so he could sit down and watch the Satan Late Show. And even though he could have stayed in the theatre and watched it live, he was too smart for that. He always knew what happened to the audience then, Brian. So he wanted to be safely at home in front of his television and see Satan sitting on the same stage as he was there just half an hour ago.
That's right.
Giving these fantastic monologues.
He did.
And doing these magic tricks and sawing off people's legs and sticking them on other people and this sort of stuff. It was absolutely brilliant.
Yeah, trying to be like Jesus.
He took a leaf out of his book.
That's right.
He actually showed Jesus.
He did.
A lot of the stuff in the early days.
Yes.
Satan had been around doing all that sort of stuff a lot longer.
Yes, yes.
A lot sooner than Jesus did. And Jesus used to sit back in the day and watch some of Satan's tricks that he used to do out in the stables and in the mangers all across Jerusalem and the Galilee region. But Satan, of course, went on to bigger and better things, much bigger things than Jesus ever could have.
He did.
Hopeful, Brian.
That's exactly right, Brian. Satan was good at the starting of people's careers who went on to big and bad things. Obviously, the biggest thing for Satan was the coup to get Elvis Presley and Frank Sinatra on the same show.
Yeah.
Same night, and they performed a duet.
Yeah.
Initially, Satan wanted to be in the nude.
Yeah.
Frank was a bit apprehensive.
Yeah.
Elvis was keen to get his pelvis going.
Yeah.
They came to a consensus. And Elvis sat behind a piano, nude, and Frankie was up there front and center behind the microphone playing a ukulele.
Yeah.
That was purely the most entertaining 15 minutes of TV I've probably seen in black and white, Brian.
Yeah.
The other person who went through that I know was huge in America was a man called Tony Curtis.
Yeah.
Tony was actually a female.
Yeah.
Satan had a lot to do with him turning into a male. His maiden name was Antonio, and he became a Tony. There's many others. Johnny Weissmuller was on Satan's show many times.
He was.
Satan loved the big boys. Yeah. He loved the muscular types, and he had the ability to make them sweat right there in front of the camera. These are the tricks of the trade that Satan had when he was a compere of his own show, Brian. He brought the best out of people, Brian.
He did. He did bring the absolute best out of people, Brian. Speaking of the absolute best, we need to recognise one of our sponsors.
Oh, yes.
Insert commercial here, Brian.
Insert commercial here.
And we're back again, Brian.
Well, that's great.
But as we were saying, Satan, great man, great entertainer, and a great behemoth.
Yes. Well, he was one of the first entrepreneurs in the industry, Brian. He saw that there was people who had entertainment running through their veins, but there was no vehicle to show to people.
No.
He cut some corners, of course.
Yeah.
But it was all in the sign of entertainment.
Yes.
Now, we've got things that happen in the world now because of Satan started, Brian.
Oh, yeah.
In the 1980s, when he was having his show 14 times a week, he introduced not only colour and fire, but he introduced death.
Yeah.
The first death on TV was on March 14th, 1983, I think it was. Pretty sure we were in Antarctica at the time, but we saw a bit of it through a... And The death he had on there was actually of a religion that had been invented by the Gaelic people in the early 1400s.
Yes.
And he put that to death on TV. That was what made him the Dark Prince, the legend that he became.
Yeah.
To actually slaughter a religion
Brilliant.
On air. With his bare hands.
Fantastic.
And people were applauding him, saying that he should be running for Parliament.
Yeah.
I think because he wasn't born in America, he couldn't actually become president.
Unfortunately.
But he could have easily been like Ronald Reagan. He could be the Ronald Reagan of the 1980s, 90s.
Yeah.
But he chose to... His goodwill was always with entertainment.
Yeah.
He always liked to bring new stars through.
Yeah.
Yeah. Debbie Reynolds came on a number of times. I know that he really wanted to have sex with her on screen.
Yeah.
But because the Americans are a little bit, what can you say, they don't want to see that on live television at the 8:30 time slot.
A bit conservative, Brian.
Yes.
Yeah.
So he did it off air many times.
Yeah.
And he had videos, and that went out streaming service now.
Yes. It was great to see old Debbie on her best behaviour.
Yeah, she looked great on all fours.
She did, and it was no surprise that Satan won the Golden Globe that year for light entertainment.
Yes.
Some said he should have gotten an Oscar, but they don't give Oscars out to television shows.
No.
But that's why he rejected a number of offers to go on the big screen.
Yes.
He was getting ready to make his debut, but negotiations failed, and quite a number of directors and producers tended to burst into flames when he didn't get what he wanted.
Yeah.
A lot of people ended up giving him a wide berth.
Yes.
And they used to start a lot of punch-ups, and he was quite often drunk.
Yeah, which is to be admired.
Yeah.
We always loved having a drink with him. I know there was a time there in the 70s that he invited us over to his ranch that he had in Albuquerque to start some fires. He loved setting towns on fire.
He did.
And we had great stories. We talked to him about what we used to do in Vietnam, burning villages down. And he said, yeah, I saw that. I noticed that back in the day, and I really enjoyed your work. I know he said to me, well, you're having a leak or a stool or something. He said to me, I love the way Brian mixes his accelerants and just bloody sets the wick off and boom.
Yeah.
He loved your work, Brian. He was very...
very complimentary.
I think he loved you, Brian.
Yeah, he's very complimentary.
He was. He loved the way you went about things. And, we'd talk about food, how you burn food, how you eat food.
Yeah.
He was well and truly into slaughtering.
Yeah.
He was actually one of the best carvers of meat I've ever seen.
He was.
I reckon he was a butcher.
Yeah.
But playful. I loved the way he was playful.
He was. He was a jolly chap.
Yeah. He'd always liked to entertain, especially not your young kiddies. He liked to have the liked your teenagers.
Yeah.
He liked to get in their ear and tell them how good it is to go out and rape and pillage and burn things down.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
He had a lot of what you'd call... in today's language, Brian, he had goodwill.
He did.
He had what you'd call fun. There's no fun anymore, Brian.
No, not much of it.
No, it's all sanitised.
Yes.
He was never sanitised, Brian. He was.
No.
In fact, I never think he washed in his life.
No, he didn't. He made it a point not to wash ever.
No.
In fact, he used to muddy himself up sometimes when he didn't think he was filthy enough.
Yes.
But I used to enjoy those simpler times, those YMCA camps when we used to sit around and tell stories around the campfire. And he'd often throw a small child under the fire as he related the story of the San Francisco Great Fire of 1901,
yes,
1907,
yes,
1914, and 1927.
Yes.
And they were some of his best fires, Brian.
Well, he's getting a lot of heat. Excuse that term, but he's getting a lot of heat because he's they're saying global warming. He's contributing to it about 4% of it.
Yeah.
The Chinese are pushing it. They're taking the bit of heat off them because they're one of the major contributors. So a lot of it's Satan's getting a bad vibe around at the moment.
Yeah.
Poor bugger. I just think, There's a fine line between entertainment and just going for somebody, Brian.
Yeah.
Look, he's brought a lot of pleasure to a lot of people over the years. He's,
yes.
You know, his skullduggery is just taken the wrong way. He, he's got a permanent place in the Guggenheim as one of the entertainers of the century.
Yes.
He's given away a lot of money, Brian, as you know.
He has.
He's helped a lot of lepers. He's helped a lot of porpoises.
Yep.
And apparently he's been to Antarctica, but they've sort of banned him because there's been a lot of melting going on.
Yeah.
Blame him, of course.
Yes.
You know, I think he's just copping a bad rap. I believe that, you know, he's probably the new future.
Yeah.
I think people do understand now that, you know, you can't have all goody-goodies and these people who go on and on and on about God and Jesus and, kitty fiddling and all that.
Yeah.
That's old hat.
It is.
We've had enough. That's from the Dark Ages.
Oh, yeah.
We want to come into the frontier of fire and brimstone. That's what we want.
Yes.
That died a few years ago. But old Satan, he can revive those tricks, Brian, with a click of a fingernail.
He certainly can.
And he's good at it, Brian.
He does. I think he should probably get into a bit more social media. I'd like to see a satanic TikTok out there.
Yep.
He's never been really good on technology.
No.
He avoided learning to read and write for so long. He's not very tech savvy. But I think this, if he really wants to get into the 27th century like we have, he really needs to have his own social media, Brian.
He does. He does. I know he's... he bought himself a tape deck a number of years ago, so he's starting to get into how buttons are pushed and talking into microphones, you know, in his privacy, his own home.
I can always remember him with the when the Walkman came out.
Yes.
He kept trying to put those big vinyl records into his Walkman.
Yeah.
And that really pissed him off.
Yes.
He went right off technology. That's the closest he's been to modern technology, Brian.
Yes, I know. He used to jam those 33 and a thirds into the Walkman. He had a lot of strength.
Yeah.
They were a bit melted by the time they started to turn.
Yeah.
But, geez, I tell you what, Brian, he could tell some tales. I know he was talking to you and me one time. We were driving down the highway between Brisbane and the Gold Coast.
Yeah.
He'd hired a limo. He didn't do things by halves.
No.
And he said to us, "Right, are you blokes, do you want a drink?" And we said, "Oh, what, Pope or Catholic?" And he went off. He didn't like that as a...
No.
Well, he went off his fucking tree.
He did.
And he said, "Get out of the car."
Yep.
And I fuck, thank God you had the skills and the language to settle him down. Yep. And I actually thought he was going to toss us out through the moon roof.
Yeah, yeah.
Because he's violent.
He is.
His violence was preceding him.
Yeah.
But you settled him down. Yep. We told him a few old stories about us with the convent.
Yep.
He loved that.
Yeah.
He loved the fact that we'd burnt down one of the classrooms.
Yep.
And we just persuaded him that it was probably best idea that we did continue on to the casino.
Yep.
And that was a hoot of a night. That will go down annals of time of the most drunk I've ever been in my life, Brian.
Pretty much.
Mm. And cheating on the roulette wheel, he was perfect at it.
He was. He was indeed. He could change all the numbers to odd numbers. At the drop of a hat, he could change them all to even numbers, or he could change all the red to black and all the black to red. He had it all over Jesus in the gambling department.
He did.
He drained many a casino of all their monetaries.
He did.
The rest is history.
Yeah. I don't know how many times double zero came up that night, Brian. I remember I put on $400 on double zero 19 times, and I think we won it 19 in a row. I don't think it was anything to do with Satan. He was very gentlemanly and said, "Oh, geez, good on you, Brian. You've done well there." But, you know, in the end, he wanted his cut. Sold him a little bit of my soul. But, you know, I don't mind that, Brian. I mean, he's a good man.
No, we've been on a roll ever since we sold him our souls, and he's been generous enough to give us a little bit back over the years with interest. He's generous to a fault, Brian.
Oh, yeah.
And he's always good to lend someone a little bit of money to get them on their way.
Oh, yeah, yes.
He's really good with the confidence powder. He sells that by the truckload.
Yes.
And once you get a bit of that under your belt and on your way, who knows where your career is going, Brian.
Well, that's right. And he's like an elephant.
He is.
He never forgets if he's lent you money. He'll always come around to your house or make a phone call. or get one of his boys to turn up.
Yeah.
But he's to be respected. He'll go down one of the 21st, 20th, 19th, 18th, 17th, 16th, 15th, 14th, 13th, 12th, 11th, 10th, 9th, 8th, 7th, 6th, 4th, 5th, 3rd
yeah.
centuries as man of the year. Well, he's not really a man. We know he's actually half donkey because he thought he'd try and match up with Jesus in that response.
Yep.
But having a half donkey, half man isn't such a bad idea. He runs like the wind.
He does.
He has often taken us little rides.
He's generous to a fault.
He's just a gentleman, Brian, a gentleman.
He is. He is an absolute gentleman, Brian. And it is a pity that he can't run for high office in this country or any other office, actually.
Yes.
But there's one place he is the king. He is the ruler, and that's the dark web, Brian. He's always going to be king.
That's right, Brian. And he can be contacted on www.satanantics.com.au because he loves to use the Wi-Fi in Australia, Brian.
He does.
He had .com.hades, but apparently AOL in America didn't want to use it because they're soft cocks.
Yep.
So he uses his own initiative in these things. And as we've already said, get on Hades, get on Satan, get on your bike. The world's there as your oyster, and he'll fry it up for you. Amen.
Absolutely, Brian. Amen. Hallelujah. And God save the hell of it.
Yeah. All right, Brian.
Time for another commercial.
Insert commercial here.
Insert commercial here, Brian.
Oh, they're a great business to back, Brian. I always believe that they've been a long time sponsor of the Bryans, and I can only endorse them sufficiently enough.
It's good to see them back in the bribery stakes, and we'll be letting the thugs know to lay off them for a while until the next payment's due.
Excellent, Brian. Great talking to you again, Brian.
You too, Brian. Have a good week at the horse racing.
Yes.
And I'll see you next week.
Yes, Brian. Erdendurn, Brian.
Erdendurn, Brian. With a capital U. D-R. Den. Den.
Tits.
And halibut. Okay, Brian.
Got to go, Brian. Got to get my testicles adjusted again.
Bye-bye, Brian.
Bye, Brian.
Semen.